Hey, you are listening to Catnap Dialogues, a show that features narratives from everyday people and their journey towards learning a language. I'm your host, Milo Falcone. Hey, today's episode is going to be a little different. I will be sharing a pre-recorded conference presentation, one that I gave back in November, a presentation that took place virtually at the London Institute for Interdisciplinary Research. It's regarding Twitter, memes, and recirculation. So if you're a fan of any of those, stay tuned. Hello, my name is Milo Falcone, and today I will be talking about my research paper, Twitter, Memes, and Recirculation, Disjuncture of Content Through Responses. But first, let me introduce myself properly. Like I said, my name is Milo, and I'm currently an anthropology graduate student at the University of Houston in Texas, United States. Generally speaking, I'm interested in linguistic anthropology. I know this is a broad term, but to give you a better idea, I like to work in the arts, social media, networking, gender, and much more. I even have a podcast called Catnap Dialogues. You can look it up on Spotify. So if you would like to connect, link up, and nerd out about language, contact me. Anyways, let's get this presentation started. Twitter, memes, and recirculation. Disjuncture of content through responses. Connectivity has been facilitated more quickly over the past decade, along with its use of the internet and its channels for global reaches or uses, such as social networking platforms. The internet and social networks have exponentially grown, and as a result, positive and negative implications have developed due to social media. Now, more than often, people are resorting to look for information online. But this is a growing trend that is not exclusive to young adults or me. Many of my peers seem to be looking up any burning question they may have online, which leads to, well, using digital encyclopedias such as Google, Bing, and Yahoo, just to name a few. However, some people resort to also using other mediums to get their information. Some of the most popular ways to do so are to use social media. Now, whether good, bad, or fake, or real, information travels so fast via these digital social platforms that it's logistically impossible to keep up with them. Primarily via Twitter, the platform which this research is based on. Now, if you're not familiar with Twitter, that's okay. Let me briefly introduce you to it. Well, Twitter is a social networking site in which you can post 140 character status updates, otherwise known as tweets and/or posts. Your post can be seen by anyone who has chosen to follow you. Within the tweet, you can link other articles or videos. For instance, some topics are started via relatable memes, which is what this paper will dive into analyzing. In particular, the depression meme section. It's a section that is centered on the creation of content that is dedicated to the topic of depression using memes. But what are memes? Well, in this case, memes are a new format of jokes. They display an image or a series of them in one slot, often with an emanata, balloons, labels, narrator blocks, signs, and captions. And most responses carry a dialogical reaction towards a wide variety of topics, a dynamic seen in most flash response-based social media platforms. Furthermore, recirculation is facilitated through hashtags and sharing, which allows memes to migrate from platform to platform, which, as I propose, results in an immediate chronotopic disjuncture, That is, of course, within the semantics of the originating post. The flash response dynamic, enabled by recirculation, feeds into the nexus of users who exchange conversations through quick responses, some of which contain memes. And as a result, memes lose their intertextual value within a fixed shift that is shared from user to user. Now, this paper aims to build comprehension of the pragmatics within a meme. Though responses are a flash dynamic, it is essential to recognize how the intertextual discourse flows through the threads, some of which are dialogical conversations that other users find relatable. The fast-paced exchanges between users enable a quick disjuncture of meaning, fragmentation, and affecting meaning within a meme. Breaking down a meme's content will be understood through Amit's concept of disjuncture, its parallel applications, and Bakhtin's theory of chronotopes and intertextuality. Now let's move on to theory. Now, space and time in unison turn into a chronotop. From this very conception, we can study how Bakhtin's theory is placed into creating memes and recirculate online in the form of conversational narration. According to Bakhtin, the relationship between time and space in literature, figuratively, are the knots that tie narration, which can also be united, and thus give life and shape to narration. The chronotope that makes the narratives happen. Now, Bakhtin's concept of chronotope, however, can be extended beyond literature. Chronotopes exist in real life. That is, because time and space semantics are organized. Thus, they are coherent and charged with significance that is not exclusive to text, but also a fundamental element of life. Now, a unspoken rule about memes and recirculation is that they are usually shared via social networking platforms such as Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, among others. So they recirculate constantly, and at times the content either changes meaning or an original meme is slightly modified. That is, with the purpose to fit another similar context. In this study, memes are being observed as a form of reaction slash response, though not exclusively. For instance, in Twitter, depression memes are a dialogic conversation happening among other Twitter users who are tweeting about depression in a light form online. Now, the meme can become viral, but it really depends on the Twitter user. For instance, if they do indeed have a large following, it may have more weight when sharing, quote, a funny depression meme versus a person, well, who doesn't have any followers or very little. Furthermore, regardless of where they may be located, as long as they have an audience, they have a form of online authority. Which is why some posts and tweets may share or may not hold any value. And again, this really depends on how many followers an individual has. This allows for different scales of privilege within a chronotop. This also suggests that people hold various values in their dialogues depending on the topic. This accentuates that chronotopes exist in layers within them. And just as important is the meaning of disjuncture. Now, disjuncture has evolved its meaning. It has shifted from a social form of thinking to a politically charged word. Used as a starting point, disjuncture of time has also been referred as a form of social boundaries. And well, according to Amit, disjuncture penetrating everyday life as a product of dislocations of structural changes. Now pay attention. This refers to the change in a community or change over time, which can be parallel to the methods of reactions over time in social media platforms. or rather how the disruption of time is readily available in fast flash responses, intertextual dialogical conversations, which in this case happen through memes. I hope you were able to understand that concept because it's key to this paper. Now let's move on how they get spread so fast. Information travels so fast via social media, usually with the aid of hashtags. But what exactly are hashtags? They are, quote, similar to tags on social tagging systems or other social networking systems. Hashtags included in tweets tend to group tweets in conversation or represent the main terms of a tweet, usually referred to topics or common interest of a community. In essence, what a hashtag does is group the tags on a tweet or a post to interconnect with other users that have similar or related content. The complex nexus of the computational vocabulary is based on the linguistic algorithms that bind hashtags to users within a particular application. Hashtags work as a vessel filled with information, and in this particular study, it carries a meme from one end user to another. Thus, it allows for the content to be open sourced and shared. But remember that not all information on Twitter is a free to go, unless, of course, the user has a public account. Some scholars have noted that with the aid of hashtags, minority groups have been able to put their problems and themselves in a spotlight. In a way, this has helped depression memes, because it's an uncomfortable topic that circulates, but it does so via funny imagery. It reminds users how much society neglects mental health issues, yet it is brought up thanks to recirculation and hashtags. Now, let's also note the importance of lightning replies, which happen in platforms like Twitter, where people go back and forward really quick. They're also part of responding, or rather, dialogical tweets. Social media is facilitating spaces where people can speak about taboo topics, or rather, just topics that are uncomfortable to speak in a day-to-day conversation. Now, at some point, some of you may or may not remember using Vine videos. They were basically quick 6-second videos. But for many, Vine videos became a medium to speak about social, political, and racial issues as an easy way to rise to fame. According to scholar Calhoun, humor has numerous social functions, including social management, mediating potentially negative reaction to the speaker's behavior, and transmitting factual information. In short, using humor to express pain, maybe uncomfortable topics, or even feelings. This makes an online camaraderie with other humans relatable and less guarded to share about it. Now, in the context of hashtag depression memes, the phenomenon of becoming so relatable allows for an even more open shared source, that is, of depression content. In some of the tweets found in the study, most memes were just recirculated responses that kept moving around so long as the user finds the semiotics of the content a possible answer. Now, in the globalized sense of chronotopes, it's arguable that Twitter enables people a window to the world, and it creates a kind of safe space, a relatively fast one, but none regardless one. And even though memes also, quote, compete for your attention, empirical findings point to extremely heterogeneous behaviors. Some memes are extremely successful, meaning they are popular and persistent, while the great majority of them die quickly. While long-lived memes might be sustained by traditional media and real-world problem events. Furthermore, short retention of material online influences how and what we share. I propose that because of hashtag depression is a mental health issue which many Twitter users find, quote, relatable, is the reason why in itself it is so broadly retained, or in this context, retweeted. However, as I mentioned in the beginning, the semiotic content of a particular meme may carry or may change interpretation depending on the audience that runs into it. And as suggested by scholars, the impact of memory and what a person sees as they refresh in an application and how they think others may benefit from seeing it also elongates the popularity of a said meme. The main goal is to merge the gap of semiotic utilization to understand better cultural differences, which can also be done when creating a meme, as it can encapsulate feelings better than a written tweet. Remember, Twitter only allows 140 characters per tweet, which is why the use of memes instead of written script on Twitter is, let alone, better. Now, memes can be analyzed as a form of digital communication alone, which causes issues in comprehending a single semiotic interpretation. Well, since it may involve misunderstandings and conflicts. In general, the use of memes enhances modes of digital dialogical discourse and can be parallelly described as conversation bumpers and aids in, quote, maintaining or reinforcing a sense of togetherness among interlocutors. Now, we do live in a globalized world, and the problem in global digital communications is that there are instances in which the absence of shared understanding can create issues. Perhaps a possible issue in a tweet is that it may have inappropriate content, sensitive material, and being flagged by other users, which can result in a meme sinking in popularity. This causes the meme to lose momentum and either be taken down or forgotten quickly. But that communication issue involves deeper issues such as internet moderation and privacy, which are not touched upon in this paper. Now, in recent years, YouTube and Twitter have become a mainstream activity. It facilitates many people worldwide with things such as news, movies, school, and even inspire hobbies. And though mostly anyone can upload content to YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, though with certain regulations, the scale in which such content is available to the public has significantly been reduced. This is because not all videos or posts get to be revised and reviewed. But that's enough about YouTube. Memes of any kind can also be emotionally charged. Whether through recirculation or meme responses, this is due to the nature of the contents. The original semiotic dialogues get lost and repurposed either negatively or positively. And this is known as a dialogical misinterpretation. It is a theory of disjuncture, in which linguistic meaning changes over time, or in this case, it happens from share to share, where chronotopic disjuncture occurs within dialogical conversation posted as memes. What I'm aiming to explain is how change of meaning within a conversation in the recirculation of, quote, hashtag depression memes happens as the thread adds memory, only if the content is relatable enough to share. And well, in conclusion, Amit concisely describes that disjuncture is an affair of, quote, engagement and association, close quote. She explains how in our day-to-day life, we discern certain aspects as continuous, current, and somewhat concrete. Yet, while living, we unhinge from part A of our lives to serve to part B and continue a schedule. Therefore, the intervals between activities A through B are crucial because they are referred to as disjuncture. For instance, Amit poses the following, quote, "We think of ourselves as still having a home even when we leave to participate in activities elsewhere. We assume that the structure, its other inhabitants and neighbors are still available upon our return." Close quote. The whole discursive image of a person having a place to call home and all the other schemes attached to the mundane interpretation of a home are in an essence engaging in existence and are recuperative once a person heads back or not. This extends its meaning and enhances daily disjuncture. She also recounts, quote, "Disjuncture can thus feature as the punctuation points marking out continuities as well as signaling smaller and larger traditions." Close quote. This means that in general, disjuncture is what I call a chronogap. Initially, the significance of disjuncture was meant to be used as a fundamental principle. Disjuncture of time has also alluded to a form of social boundaries. Quote, "Disjuncture penetrating everyday life as a product of dislocations of structural changes." Close quote. This refers to changes in the community or changes over time, and in this case, the structural changes that happens in a Twitter thread. Well, language socialization is constantly shifting. It has been filled with changes that I earlier called chronogap. It is the gap that helps an intermission to move on to the next frame. If we consider depression memes as a form of visual language, we see how multimodal communication has started to shift at an accelerating rate. This may include, but is not limited, to creating new words, words being fused with others, and memes being recycled with fresh content. In the context of Twitter and depression memes, we can see how the meanings flux. They flux so quickly that the original content becomes blurry or adopts a new set of variables. Yet, these concepts can also be used in the flux that occurs within the responses of other users. In essence, disjuncture is not a step that happens. It is a step that is shaped and grows with time and cannot be forced to evolve. For example, the intervals in which language develops, well, there are no predictive outlooks, just like we cannot predict how society will turn out to be. We cannot predict why people post what they post, nor the intentions they have, much less whether the meme will create, well, quote, an effect. Tweets happen so fast that catching up with it and its semantics is almost impossible to foretell, at least not in correlation of how people understand depression content. Yet prediction is somewhat possible, but only if the meme material is carried with the exact message from user to user, which is impossible to control. On the other hand, by Twitter being so fast, we see a rapid evolution of its semiotic development within memes and its clever users. It is essential for me to state that no semiotic analysis is bound to be the absolute valued answer. However, from this conclusion, we can draw a map towards figuring out the flow of memification in various topics, like bringing awareness. And finally, in addition to understanding of social networking as a whole, is that it fulfills the basic needs posed by Maslow's hierarchy of needs. This theory would pose that social networking meets the needs of safety, association, estimation, and self-realization. In the Twitter context, users can manage safety by being able to control their privacy settings, giving them a sense of control over who gets to access their information and who does not. Associative needs are fulfilled by collecting a certain number of, quote, friends and selecting only specific individuals in their social network that think alike. Furthermore, esteem is met by by, quote, gathering friends, likes, and compare oneself to others. Lastly, self-realization, the highest attainable goal that few can reach. This is by users presenting themselves in a particular way that they want to present themselves, by aiding friends on social networking websites whom may need help, which the prescient tweet can capture. That's all in regards to my paper. Now, additional points that are worth mentioning are the following. With the increased use of the internet and social media, psychologists, educators, and researchers have become rightfully worried about the negative impacts that the abuse of social media has on young users. The misuse of social media has created such sensationalism that a measurement chart has been slowly created to scale the use of said platforms in an attempt to get a hold of its adverse emotionally related side effects. Specifically, social media misuse. However, because of the novelty of the theme of the study, the resources to have a comparable study are still in developmental stages, and yet there is enough information and data to get it going. Thank you for your time, and I hope you have a great day. I'm signing out. This is Milo Falcone. Until next time. This episode was produced by me, Milo Falcone, and music by DJ Young and Perosian. Until next time, and happy holidays.